the grave was ringed out. Skin the best grounds kitchen. Child, here is your back condition. Well, her eyes they glow with brilliant light. Oh, mama said it's gonna be alright. She said, baby, you came just in time. The world needs your light. Let your shine. You're a gift from above. You're a gift from above, child. You said, dear love. Ooh, show them all.
Hello, hello, welcome back. Running Back the Hits, Volume 51. Thank you for being here. Hope you're having a good day. As always, got Youngest in the building. Youngest, how are you, sir?
What's going on? What's going on? You know?
Not much, man.
Nice, fun episode today.
Indeed, indeed. Coming off a holiday. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. Hope you got an extra day off. All that good stuff. Also, a little housekeeping. Shout out to everyone who listened to the last episode. We hit our 250 listener goal. So we got a couple of $300 donations to the PCRF. If you donated individually, salute to you as well. We really, really appreciate that. Shout out to Trill as well for coming on for Volume 50. But on to Volume 51.
Back to the regular scheduled program.
Yes, sir. What we got going on today, youngest?
I don't even know how to describe this. How do we describe this?
So we've actually done this before, kind of. This is a part two. The part one, we did actually an R&B playlist of sorts, comparing 2000s and 2010s. We're doing the same thing, but this time we're going with hip hop. So Youngest has the 5 years beginning in 2000. I have the 5 years beginning in 2010. We're making a 20 song playlist. We got 20 songs ranked as well. So we're going to go from 20 to 1, talk about some of the most important songs of these decades, the beginning of these decades, and make a little playlist for y'all. Should have it out at some point so y'all can listen to it throughout the week.
Really just like a vehicle for us to talk about music that we might not always get the chance to talk about. Some of this stuff we've probably talked about before, some of this stuff like one-offs. People on here we might not do a whole episode on ever, so you know, just get the chance to break down some of our favorite songs from these time periods. There's a lot of good songs in these time periods. We know.
This is so hard to do.
Yeah, we're going to miss a lot. My initial list was like 50, and I had to cut out. And there were so many, I was like, I really like this song, but if I were to sit and talk about it, might not entertain too many people.
It's wild because if someone was like, hey, I want you to define a genre of music like half a decade in 20 songs, that doesn't seem like super, to me at least, it doesn't seem super hard. But once you like dig into it, it's like impossible. So.
Before we get into it, I guess, what were some trends you noticed from 2010 to 2014? What are some characteristics you can assign to that?
So coming off the 2000s, where we really see some of these artists grow as stars, guys will get into, I'm sure in your playlist, like 2010 is... The 2010s in general, I'll say, maybe the decade with the most change that we've seen in hip-hop history. I don't know if I'm a little biased just because that's the era I was in, but some of the stuff that we'll hear in the 2010s compared to the stuff we heard in the 2000s and 90s, it is just so, so different. The genre just takes such a leap, in my opinion, to cover new bounds. Causes some controversy throughout the way. We'll get into that with some of these songs. Some traditionalists were definitely not happy with what they were seeing in the 2010s, which, I mean, it occurs in every decade, but what we got in the 2010s, we'll get to some of this stuff. It's there's definitely some backlash. We even talked about it last week with fucking Future, like the backlash that some of these artists created.
Yeah, and like you said, it's always around, and for something like rap that is a new genre, like it had baby legs, like the babiest of legs in the 70s, and was like finding its ground and making its way outside the major cities in the 80s. And then you get to the 90s where there's a boom. There's kind of this idea of what rap should sound like and what rap traditionally is. And we get to my decade, we get to the 2000s, and they keep a lot of that, but they redefine it in their own ways. And we see that transition happen in the 2010s, and now we're in 2020, and we're kind of seeing that transition again, especially in the early part of the decade.
Yeah.
So it's an ever-evolving sound. I think the issue is other genres like rock were able to put labels on these kind of things, and they were accepted labels. And rap never really had that, and it feels like everyone's kind of competing on the same playing field, but really, there are artists that are doing different things, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, too, because some of these guys, like, how can you compare Trinidad James to a Meek Mill, you know? That's a weird...
And even further, how can you compare that to, like, Benny the Butcher or...
Right.
Like, these guys are all technically doing rap music, but it just doesn't feel like there's the correct labels the way there's the difference between metal and punk and big band or classic and all these different types of rock genres.
Yeah. And that is something that I think hip hop is going to have to figure out sooner rather than later with some of these guys. Cause it is like we've reached heights that, you know, the people, the forefathers never would have thought with where we are now. So,
I can't imagine showing Grandmaster Flash, Turn On the Lights or anything by Drake or something. But with the early 2000s, like a trend I noticed, obviously, and it's kind of the music I grew up on and the stuff that was really on the radio and what my ear really attaches to. That's kind of why Lee gave me the genre, is like the production. Production's a little boom bap, takes a lot of samples, spins a lot of samples. Sample heavy. We'll get into it more. There's a consistency of producers on my list and how they kind of own the decade and what they did to own the decade and how they each had sounds that were similar. I mean, we see it today with producers and, you know, like Pierre and Metro and Hitmaker and 40 and a bunch of these guys, and how they share similar qualities, but they each put their own spin on it and their own sound to identify themselves. And I feel like that was a major thing that we started to see in the 90s, but really made a name for itself in the early 2000s.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What are we thinking? We want to go ahead and get into it?
I mean, do you want to talk about generalizations of the 2010s first?
So the 2010s is weird because you get this mix, and it's something that I tried to account for. You get mixtapes and you get albums. That's a big, big part of it. So tried to make some accommodations for the mixtape era as well, because that was such a big part of that early mid 2010s, the blog era. We had a whole episode on it. Like, it's such a beloved period for a certain group. And a lot of that happens in this time. So I tried to make sure to get some of that stuff in there, had to get some of the big songs that we saw from albums, because in early and late 2010s, we see rappers just boom to how like big a rapper can be. Like, we see that thought change. So I definitely wanted to make some accommodations for that. Also, just wanted to make sure we got some just like songs that I think can really stand with other genres, and songs that were critically looked at as, you know, beautiful pieces of work outside of hip hop, but from people outside of hip hop as well. So tried to cover all my bases, which is hard to do with 20 songs, but I think I did a decent job. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'd say my 20 are generally massive songs. They're all big in their own way. Trend, I saw a lot of region heavy stuff. And I tried to grab one. I mean, there are a few outliers, but I tried to grab one from like the biggest artist at the time. I don't know if you put a limit on yours, but I put a limit that it cannot come from. There are a few artists that pop up multiple times, but it's not their song. So I made sure it's one song.
Yeah.
Weird thing, I did not have anyone from the West Coast. There is not a California artist.
Really?
Which, a little weird. I feel like if I did your decade, I'd definitely have a few.
Yeah.
But I was looking at 2010, you know, I looked at Snoop, I looked at Ice Cube, I looked at a lot of their stuff, and just... I found 20 songs I liked more and I felt were more worthy and more willing to like fit into that. So A lot of region heavy stuff. That was a little weird. I don't know. Do you have a West Coast song? Obviously not on my list, but is there one that comes to your head right away?
For the two, for that, I can't think for that 5 year period, but yeah, that is just interesting that it didn't make its way there.
Beautiful is the only one that was like really
close. Like, yeah. Okay.
That was on the short list. And honestly, we do 25 songs, might make it. Yeah. It might have. Beautiful is even 2005. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we do the back half, who know, like one day we will do the part twos for the R&B and hip hop. So when it comes back around, you might see it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. West Coast, a little bit of a down period, and a lot of that has to do with like Death Row crumbling.
Yeah.
And a lot of West Coast rappers dying early on.
I mean,
Dre's 2001's 1999, and then that's probably the last big record for a while out there.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's dig into it. Let's do. Do you want to go first? Should I go first?
You can go first. Number 20, what you got?
Okay, so we're doing the playlist. My number 20 is a song that from an album that really like got me into rap music early on. It's Pimpin' All Over the World by Ludacris and Bobby Valentino. This, I'm not sure this is the best song on the album. It's the biggest song on Red Light District.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's the best Ludacris song at that time, but it was major to me. It was a pretty big one. It's 20. It's the worst song on my list.
Ludacris. For someone who like me, before I like learned, I kind of had to go back because I really wasn't that active with music at the time of Ludacris. It's so hard to explain how colossal Ludacris was. You know, now we kind of know him as really like this actor for a lot of people of a certain age. They might know him as an actor, but no, Ludacris was so big. He was so cool as well. Like the music he made was so funny. Had so much personality, so creative. We've talked about Luda a couple times on here, and like so influential as well. Like I think a lot of people look to Luda, guys later on, and his just insane creativity.
Shines. He's so good at rapping.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I think this kind of came to me, so maybe we could workshop it together on air, or you can leave me out to hang as an idiot. But I think really comparable to like the way we view 2 Chainz now, how 2 Chainz is personable, he's fun,
yeah,
never really someone that lets you down in the music. You might think he's better than Ludacris, that's fine with me, but they kind of hold that echelon of respected by their peers, really bounce around, really enjoy making the music that they do, and kind of consistent and reliable.
Yeah.
The thing with Ludacris, I'm not sure his music has aged the best, but for sure in his time period, we talked about like old heads getting mad about stuff. Ludacris was a big component of that, very sexual music, not afraid to make explicit stuff. And that pissed off a lot of people at the time.
Yeah. I do like the Chainz comparison, especially like that just cool factor, like I mentioned. Southern dudes, super cool, like you mentioned, kind of had their own section of hip-hop, but had fans from all sections. They were just undeniable. So much star power, like so damn cool. And I think a lot of the early Luda projects, especially Red Light District, weirdly enough, have actually aged really well for newer fans. Like Word of Mouth is the one that I remember because I had a cousin who was from Atlanta and like he played a lot of that shit. So Word of Mouth was one that I just heard all the time when I was young. And it was, I was like, this shit is old, but it's cool. Like that's how I thought at the time. So yeah, I think a lot of that early Luda stuff has actually aged really well. I do love Pimpin' All Over the World. You know, that rap sung element, you get so much of that in the 2000s. You don't get it as much in the 2010s. I only have like, really like one or two songs that have that element. So it's definitely a product of that era as well. So
Yeah, I mean, I only have three songs on this list. I feel like it's a later 2000s thing, but getting the R&B singer to come do the hook for you.
Yeah.
What do we got at 20, Lee?
Number 20. When I think about the 2010s, there's a weird regionality to it. It's like early in the decade, the regionality is kind of dying, but it's still there a little bit, especially in New York, because a lot of publications run out of there, so they want to like push their artists. And someone who they push and they were wrong about a lot of the folks that they tried to push. One of the guys that they were right about, ASAP Rocky. The
Okay.
track from ASAP Rocky that I picked is something that some people might disagree with because he had bigger songs on his debut album, but I wanted to go back to the song that kind of broke him, and that is Peso. Peso comes off of Live Love ASAP mixtape in 2011, I believe. And it's so weird. Obviously, the thing with ASAP, he's a New York guy who doesn't really sound like he's from New York. And I think a lot of New York people didn't know what to do with that at first. They were like, no, we want like our traditional artist. And it's weird that a lot of the people who have broke from New York in this 2010s didn't really sound like they were from New York. Like Cardi B didn't really strike me as a New York rapper. Pop Smoke, God Bless the Dead, like he didn't strike me as that either. A lot of these guys who broke from New York borrowed from other regions. So I'm gonna go with Peso. It's the song that broke ASAP. To this day, still one of my favorite ASAP songs. He's had bigger, but this is the one that kind of like shows his identity as an artist, especially in this decade.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky really hit the scene with Peso, and I like how you said it's not really a New York sound because it's really just a Southern sound. He really came and started biting stuff from the South a little bit, but he kind of made his own scene in New York and ends up inspiring a lot. Him and Yams built this kind of mini dynasty that they ran for a little bit in the early 2010s. So yeah, Rocky definitely deserves a spot here.
And I mean they were interesting, and I think what they did so well is that even though they did have that Southern influence, they made it clear how influenced they were by New York hip hop. So New York still really embraced them, 'cause like they repped Harlem so hard, like they talked about how much they love Wu-Tang. Like they made sure to let people know they were children of New York, even
They
though
just didn't sound like Troy Ave, that's all.
exactly. See, I'm going with Peso for number 20.
My 19, one of the most recognizable beats in rap, at least to me. I'm going with the Queen of the Short Hair. I'm going with Eve. I'm going with Let Me Blow Your Mind, produced by Scott Storch. I hear those early notes on the piano and instantly like my ears perk up. The only flaw to this song, it is long, man. I don't know why the hell it's this long.
Yeah, it is a long track. Eve is like,
I mean, it was at a time where there's like 4 minute songs consistently, but yeah, Gwen Stefani's on this thing. Eve's an interesting rapper. I don't know if I would put her in my top 20 of the decade, but this song definitely deserves up there for me.
yeah, I mean, the song was huge. Like, Eve was an artist who I feel like had a lot of respect. Something that we've seen in hip hop consistently. It can be hard for like women to break through and really make their mark in the genre for a plethora of reasons. But this is one that you couldn't hold back. So much like cool energy. And songs like these are why it's important to like listen to women in hip hop and like big up women in hip hop, because the energy and like the coolness of it could only come from women. It couldn't come from men. So yeah, dope track.
Yeah, and I mean, this is kind of a down period. Not to harp on the fact that she's a woman, because I mean, the song itself is good, but yeah, this is a down period after the 90s, and there was a little bit of a boom. And, the Foxy Browns and the Little Kims and a lot of those early rappers, there was kind of a down period for female MCs. And we'll get to another one later, but Eve was a big component of that, even though her last album was like 2002. So she's been retired for 20 years now. Holy shit. Yeah.
She's another one who does a lot of acting, well, does acting, so.
What do we got at 19, Lee?
19. I mentioned how the rap song thing was kind of a byproduct of the 2000s, and it had trouble in the 2010s. This guy we both love. I think he's the king of rap sung, especially in the 2010s. Wale. Wale and Miguel with Lotus Flower Bomb. This is, when I think about rap sung, this is maybe the best rap sung song of this decade, in my opinion. You just get this like beautiful hook from Miguel, who at this time is like red hot on fire. Wale comes in like on some cool, smooth shit, does it right. Like, it's a song that almost sounds like it could have been made in the 2000s. It sounds a little out of place compared to these other songs, but I think it's so good. Just calling back on that classic rap song energy of the 2000s. I had to pick it. If you listen to the show a lot, you know I love Wale. So I had to get a Wale track in here. I'm going with Lotus Flower Bomb.
Yeah, Lotus Flower Bomb. Not like the biggest song that took over the world or anything, you know, like it was played all over the place, but it's surprisingly one that's held its place in time for a while now.
Yep.
It's been around for a while, and I feel like I constantly still hear it.
Yeah.
Like, it'll pop up on the radio every now and then, you know, you'll hear it in different settings, and people still kind of attach to it. And Wale is one of the absolute kings, especially in this decade of the 2010s, not this current one, but one of the 2010s decades of just like making romantic rap music.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things me and Lee really enjoy from him. And it's becoming a little bit of a lost art. It's turning more into R&B.
Yeah.
A lot of R&B singers are talking shit in a way that rappers used to when they made this like romantic music. So for Wale to still kind of hold that ground.
Yeah. And he, like, someone who has been able to do it at all points throughout the decade, like On Chill with Jeremiah was still a pretty big record that was only a couple years ago. He's been someone who, he has not let this style go, because I think he knows first how good he is and two, how good it is. And it's in and of itself. So salute to Wale for continuing this art. So yeah, going with Lotus Firebomb at 19. What you got for 18?
What do I got for 18? I got someone that kind of took over the South. He's 22 and a vet in the game, man. I'm going with Be Easy by T.I., staying with the piano beat. Just like an instant success. T.I. hits the scene like fast, and he hits it hard. Trap music, pretty big record in 2003. And I was trying to find the one that I felt encapsulated it the best. 24s kind of has that like aggressive feel to it. Rubber Band Man, I mean, still play to this day. Doing My Job's one of my favorite Kanye beats, but it's Be Easy, the one that like T.I. really talks his shit on. It's quick, it's fast, it's got a catchy hook, it's everything.
Yeah, I mean, T.I., the guy who was crowned early, this is going to be the Jay-Z of the South. What else can you say about T.I. In this era, now that he's a piece of shit? But, like, what can you say about T.I. at this time? Comes out with this album. To me, you know, I love my Jeezys, I love my Gucci's. I love all these guys. This is one of the quintessential Southern 2000s. For me, it's the quintessential 2000s hip-hop record. Again, having like a cousin who was from Atlanta, heard this one a lot. This was one that I was like, damn, this shit really kind of sounds like it's from a different time than what I know, but it's still super crazy. Trunk rattling shit, shit that just bumps like crazy. And them old ass Southern cars that don't have AC in them. So yeah, definitely love Be Easy. This shit is dope ass track.
What do we got at 18, Lee?
At 18, going a little bit later into the middle of the 2010s. Second track that I'm taking off a mixtape. One of the biggest mixtapes of this time. The thing that really, mixtapes after this mixtape were never the same. I'm talking about Chance the Rapper. I'm talking about Acid Rap. And the song that I'm talking about is Cocoa Butter Kisses. Okay. Acid Rap changed everything. Like, after Acid Rap, a mixtape did just not mean what it had meant before. Obviously, we had big mixtapes before it, but Acid Rap just changed everything. Obviously, it launched the career of Chance the Rapper. And yeah, Cocoa Butter Kisses is one. It was tough to pick a song off of here because I have the ones that I love most, like a Pusha Man, Paranoia, an Acid Rain, or a Chainsmoker. Cocoa Butter Kisses is, I think, the one, if I'm putting on like my historian lens, that I would say that you got to pick out. You get this dope ass twist of verse, getting that like nostalgia, old Chicago element, and you get his man's Vic Mensa. Like, these two dudes who are hungry to take over and do crazy shit on the scene. So I'm going with Cocoa Butter Kisses right here. Dope, dope track.
Tremendous pick. I mean, we've talked a little bit about Chance and his importance to like literally changing rap. Yep. And how he showed, I mean, people have been talking about independent and like going back and getting your own label and all this stuff, but his ability to float and wade in water and kind of make money, legitimately giving out his music for free without a label, like completely without a label, not starting his own label under like Atlantic or Interscope or something, like completely by himself. And Acid Rap is the reason for that. People attach to it so much, and Cocoa Butter Kisses is one of those songs, you know. You mentioned Vic Mensa, and I'm glad you picked a song that was part of like the Save the Money crew or whatever.
Yeah,
and it showed that they can kind of do that whole thing on their own.
Yep.
Ooh, I'm up, aren't I?
Yes, sir.
My next song, I'm not sure my next song belongs on this list, but it means a lot to me, so
okay,
I picked
okay.
I did I'm a Thug by Trick Daddy.
This definitely belongs.
I'm not really sure how this is received by other people. I feel like it's a song that's forgot about in time a lot. And I mean, it was pretty big, but whenever I see lists of the best songs of the 2000 or all this stuff, it's usually left out. And Trick Daddy is as Florida is.
Absolutely.
He's a full encapsulation of that region, which Florida has their own sound. And I'm a Thug is part of that. It's got that like kind of kiddish background to it. I hate just using having a lot of fun, but like Trick Daddy is clearly not taking it seriously in the sense that a lot of these other rappers are, like compared to B-Eazy. Even it's got the name B-Eazy. T.I.'s talking a level of shit that like he wants to be taken seriously, and I'm a Thug is a lot more flamboyant. It's a lot more fun. That Trick Daddy album is one of my favorites. There's like, funny enough, there's a scene in Ballers. I don't know if you ever watched Ballers.
I've not seen Ballers.
Okay. There's maybe like one person listening to this episode that's gonna know what I'm talking about. But there's a scene in Ballers where Ricky Jarrett's dad like gets in like a Lamborghini. He gets in like Ricky's Lamborghini, and he turns on the radio, and I'm a Thug's playing, and he just flies down the highway. Like, I knew the song before that. I loved the song before that. I listened to the song before that, but all of a sudden it just became like the perfect car music for me.
And yeah,
I'm gonna play it a lot more after that.
Even it has a virality now. There's that meme of, I don't know if you've seen it, our good friend Diggy posted a lot in the Discord chat we're in, of like this kid doing like this really cool dance.
Every time I hit play on the video, I forget that it's Tom
the Thug. And yeah, it's to I'm a Thug. And that is actually like that video. It's not just like some abstract thing. It kind of has like some internet life. People know what it is on the internet. So yeah, it has life there. But this is such a song of this era. Like you said, so fun and like so weirdly quirky from somebody with the name Trick Daddy and with a song that's titled I'm a Thug. But yeah, super fun, super creative, like a lot of cool one-liners and stuff all throughout this. Such a product of his era in the best way. So I like that.
I mean, down to when he's describing how he's dressed, you know, like, is it my gold teeth or my baggy jeans that makes me different from y'all? Exactly. Like, a lot of quotables on my list. I'm sure on Leeds too.
Yeah. All right. Up next, I couldn't do this era without Nicki Minaj. I just could not do it. I think when you look at this time, Nicki's like ascent is insane, even though I'm not a huge fan of a lot of like her music from this era. But I'm kind of putting on my historian hat for this pick. This is a song that was just such a moment. Like, I remember the song, the videos, the performances, the talk about the song. Give me Anaconda by Nicki Minaj, man. Like, this was just a song I remember seeing in so many different places. And I have to go Anaconda. You get like the sample, of course. It's very pop inspired. It's very pop heavy, but she's kind of she's rapping on there too. So give me Anaconda, right?
Yeah, Anaconda. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not fond of that song. Just like sonically, I don't like. I just really prefer not. It's kind of loud and a little obnoxious to me. I know I sound old as shit, and it is. I'm doing the older one, but
and I'm not a huge Nicki fan of a lot of her music, but this is one that weirdly works, and for me, like, it weirdly clicks. Like the like you mentioned, kind of the obnoxiousness of it. Like just the crass nature of it, I actually really like it, and I think it weirdly worked for Nicki. And so it weirdly enough, it might be my favorite Nicki, one of my favorite Nicki songs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have an issue with Nicki Minaj, and I don't like have an issue with the crassness because, well, crass music's been around forever. I mean,
yeah.
Don't need to turn my nose up just because it's a woman doing it now.
Like, yeah.
That was kind of fucking whack. It's just particular song. I just like you said the name, and then I just instantly had like flashbacks. me being in a bar and a bunch of people just yelling, "My Anaconda don't want." And I'm like, yeah, just loud. Yeah, I mean, definitely a song encapsulating the time, and like she deserves to have a song on that list. And Anaconda's not a bad one to put on there.
Yeah.
My next song is from super producer and decent rapper, David Banner. It's Like a Pimp with Lil Flip. You want to talk about music that just like destroys your car speakers? I love this song. It's one of my test my speaker songs. Like, it'll bump the whole thing, and you just feel a different like level of confidence when you hear it. You know, it's hard not to feel like the coolest person in the world when you're listening to Like a Pimp.
Yeah. David Banner, even though a lot of people who were, you know, in their late teens, early mid 20s might not know a lot of his songs, dude who has like legit OG status in hip hop, especially in the South, super respected, someone who like is held in a high regard. And yeah, this record is super crazy. Bumps like you read about.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lil Flip deserves a lot of credit too. He goes back and forth with him on the whole thing. Kind of gives him a big helping hand there. But David Banner, not someone I don't know. Like, I'm not sure he would end up my top 20 rappers within the era I'm talking about, but he definitely had a hit in there that deserves it.
Oh, yes. Excellent pick there. Up next, I'm kind of knocking out two birds at one stone with this pick because two characteristics of this song. Number one, it's Rick Ross, who was all over this decade dropping a classic album in Teflon Don, some other dope ass records, features, singles, mixtapes everywhere. And the second element, you get a Drake hook, another element that makes you know this shit is serious. It's Aston Martin music. Featuring Drake and Chrisette Michelle. Like, this is just the Drake hooks. There were like a plethora of songs I could have picked from here. And even with all the dope ass hooks he did in this era, Aston Martin music is just like the one, in my opinion. Elegant, luxurious, out of my budget song as a whole. Gotta go with Aston Martin music right here.
Yeah, Aston Martin music, I mean, so good. Drake does his own like song for it. It's one of like the slowest songs that you could probably play around a group of people and they won't feel like they're like listening to some R&B or something.
Right.
Drake kills it. Ross kills it. We've talked 100 times, at least I have on this show, about Ross just like having the genius of bringing people to come do hooks for him. And this is like the best example as it gets.
Yep.
Just a pure classic song, every definition of the word. Oh, my next one. What am I at? 17 now?
I think this is 17. Yeah, it might be 16, actually.
17, 16. This is 15.
Damn, okay.
Yeah. So my next song is What We Do by Freeway, Philadelphia Freeway. I was a little late to the song. I'm not going to pretend like I've known this my whole life. I dove back into the Philadelphia Freeway album. There were some people on Twitter talking about it around its 15th anniversary in 2018.
Yeah.
And people were big up in it. So I went back and listened to it because big Jay-Z guy, but like a lot of the Rockefeller records and stuff. And the superlative it was getting was like one of the best non-Jay-Z Rockefeller albums.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff. So I went to it, you know, Free is one of the best intros that you can have on an album. But what I was really waiting for was the next song because it had Jay-Z and Beanie on it. And I could not believe how Freeway just washed both of them. Right. Just like an insane verse. Ends up getting like passed around again with that lady at the Sixers game rapping onto it. Like, I'm glad. Maybe it was just me finding it late, but I'm glad that it's getting like a type of resurgence. It's been around for a while.
And it's one of those songs that I imagine is held way, way higher in its region. Like especially people who were in that era, that time, they know the song, but especially people in that region. Weird thing with some of these songs, how they're like popping back up. They have like this weird virality where they're coming back, you know, 10 years later. That's super cool to see. Up next, man. Talked about it at the top. How this decade had songs and artists who were really, really upsetting hip hop traditionalists. The amount of YouTube videos with dudes in dusty fitted hats in response to this song, probably the most for anything. Trinidad James, All Gold Everything, hits the scene. You see the video, this shirtless dude holding the little puppy, and it's just some of the coolest shit ever. As aged like wine, in my opinion, weirdly enough, the song still sounds just as dope to me. So I'm going All Gold Everything.
People were so mad. J. Cole's got a line in a song about it. Just like my pops had Rick James when he was out popping, and all I get is Trinidad James or something like that. And like, he a little bit of a one hit wonder. Hilarious cameo and Uncut Gems, just like a wild move to throw his ass in there. But yeah, All Gold Everything, the remixes off it were great. Just like you said, it pissed off a lot of people. And at the same time, it made everyone so happy. Like, it just played it.
And I know he got a nice check off of that for 24K Magic with the Don't Believe Me, Just Watch. It's people talk about it, but I don't know. I don't think anyone knows exactly how much money he made, but I assume he got a nice little check
off. I never even realized that until you just said it right now.
Yeah. So I assume he got a nice little check off that.
That's kind of nuts. Going on to my list, number 14. I went from Banner to just Blaze. Gonna keep it up with the super producers. We talked a little bit about it before. My next song is The Light by Common, produced by Jay Dilla. Talked a little bit about like romantic rap, and The Light is probably my favorite song within that mini subgenre. It's a beautiful ballad. Common gets a lot of shit now, but really just him and J Dilla together were making some magic.
Excellent pick here. One, because the song is great. Two, because I get to mention the Soulquarians again. One of Common's albums produced in the Soulquarian Collective that I love. This is my personal favorite Common album. A little bit of a take there, but yeah, and this song is just amazing. It sounds like something from that era, but it truly is timeless. Like, the rhymes are dope, like, but nothing crazy. The beat, same way. Just good, great music. So yeah, excellent pick. And this is a song that I love, and I love, like, it has a weird element of like soul to it. There's a weird thing that goes on in the 2010s where once these dudes start singing, they're not like good singers. So what pushes it is like the element of soul and the passion in their vocals. And the song I'm talking about is Type Away by Rich Homie Quan is my next selection here. Like, the way that he's like, not even like singing's not even really the word. He's like emotionally talking through this song. Hook is great, was like such a big record. Quan, we'll talk a little bit more about Quan with another selection because he shows up again, but a guy who definitely made his mark in this time.
One of my I'm so glad this made your list. If I was doing this section, I might have honestly had it ranked higher. I love this song so goddamn much. We talked about like Trinidad James causing a ruckus. Rich Homie Quan was also part of that ruckus, and like someone that was super respected by their peers. Huge fan of this one. I feel like I played it in my car every day when it came out. Yeah, I can't say much more about Some Type of Way.
Yeah.
And he follows it up with Flex after just.
Yeah. And Flex was honestly the bigger record, but Type Away is like, yeah. Type Away is the one.
You think Flex is bigger?
I think Flex ended up being a little bigger. Like, I think it had a little more crossover appeal, probably because it was second too. Like, that probably had part to do with it. But Type Away is the one for the history books.
Yeah, when I think Rich Homie, I think Type Away, or I think Lifestyle right away.
Yep.
My next song, it was, you know, like, this group meant a lot in the 90s, and they did start, I mean, they had music in the early 2000s, and I'm fond of a lot of it, but I was trying to think what was worthy to be in this group, and it's actually a song not on, like, a real album. It's a song on, like, a greatest hits album that they added, and it's Outkast and The Whole World with Killer Mike.
Interesting. Dope pick too.
Yeah, Outkast has always been on the groovier side, like a little more funk in their music. They have their own unique idiosyncratic sound within Southern hip hop, and just introducing Killer Mike in this way and going back to a song like Rosa Parks that they'd done earlier on Equimini and kind of just giving us this thing out of the blue on like a greatest hits album. Very cool. Big fan of The Whole World. Song that gets stuck in my head a lot.
Dope track. And Killer Mike still having relevance to this day. Like coming from like the Dungeon Family tree, obviously, but kind of following Outkast immediately and still being around now is super, super dope. And the fact that just having Outkast in this time period, still doing stuff that like people liked and was respected. They had a decent amount of music out at this point. So yeah, good pick here. I like that. I like that pick. What we got. Oh, okay. This is one that in terms of just how big it was, maybe it could be higher, but Jay-Z, Kanye West, The Throne, Niggas in Paris. This song right here, very big song. I don't know about like the long lasting like influence of it or whatever, but colossal. Like, this song was so big. like, I love the energy on it. Beat is crazy. Yeah. Give me Niggas in Paris right here.
Yeah, this song was ginormous.
Yeah.
Cannot even, like, maybe I wasn't doing too much, so it felt like every new story about this song was a big deal. But
yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but they did it in LA. They did a concert on their joint tour, and they did it 9 times in a row.
Yeah.
And it sounds ridiculous, but then you watch the video and you're like, damn, even like the 6th time, the crowd is still really into it. Like,
yeah.
Massive song. Just like, it's not my favorite on Watch the Throne. For sure. Same. Not my favorite.
Yeah, but same.
It's the one that deserves to be on this list for sure.
Yeah. And I guess it has the influence of being that first mega team up. Which is, might be a bad influence, because as we've talked, a lot of these big artist team ups haven't gone as great. But yeah, definitely has the influence that way. So going with that.
All right. My next one is from your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Going with Scarface, I'm going with Guess Who's Back. Early Kanye West beat. We talked about it a little bit when we talked about the Kanye documentary and just like how much this record helped him and how much Scarface helped him. And there's just fantastic Jay-Z verse, just one I rewind over and over again. Beanie Siegel does this thing on here, but it's really like The Fix was a major, I don't want to say underground because it was a little big, but it wasn't hitting the radio the same way Outkast and some of these other records I've mentioned earlier, and how they've kind of taken over the airwaves. Like, The Fix was big, but it was for the fans. It was for the people that were really into hip hop. This may be the most barsy song that I have on this list.
Yeah. And that, like, your favorite rapper, such a great way to describe Scarface. People who know their hip hop history, artist, Scarface is so respected. Like, maybe more so than any other hip hop artist. I think you could make that argument in terms of his music and just like him as a person. I think the way people talk about Scarface generally hold him in a high regard in all accounts, has a classic album. And yeah, beat on this is amazing. The whole, like everything about this, super, super crazy. Scarface is a weird one. Like, I hope he doesn't get lost to time. And I think there's a chance he could. I hope he doesn't, because like we said, some classic material. So good pick. Next up, artist formerly known as Titty Boy, switched his name to 2 Chainz. Could not do this half decade without talking about that brief pocket in time where 2 Chainz was running hip hop. I'm going with I'm Different. A lot of selections you could make here, but I'm going to go with I'm Different. One of the bigger songs off of Based on a True Story. The song that I think that defines 2 Chainz in a great way. I'm going to go with I'm Different right here.
Yeah, man. Similarity between our two lists so far. Keep playing the piano, man. Producers gotta keep playing the piano.
Yeah.
But I'm Different beat will never leave your head. It's just like Lee said it, and all of a sudden I hear the piano keys, the sound. Yeah. I'm not gonna try to make the sound for you, but that sound just like instantly enters my head and won't leave. Yeah, 2 Chainz deserves to be here. I'm Different was such a big song for him. Really, like, encapsulates what he's all about and what he tries to rap about and the shit talking that he does. So, yeah, fan of that pick for sure.
Yeah.
What do we got next for me? Another Kanye West beat, this time for a Kanye West song. I'm going with All Falls Down, featuring Selena Johnson. I can't explain. Like, Kanye himself has become this massive star in rap that I don't know how many other people can ever reach that height. And if anyone has reached that height, I was at the gym the other day playing basketball, and there was a 13-year-old white kid that was like rapping along to this song, a song that was like 20 years old. Yeah. And I understood because it's like white kids and Kanye and that connection or whatever. But
yeah.
One of the few people that get people to go back and listen to his old stuff, one of the few people that you can convince like a 15 or a 16-year-old to go back and listen to College Dropout. And he's developed this persona or whatever that we kind of dance around on this show. It is what it is, but it's really just this thing of his ability to just canonize himself, and people feel obligated to go listen to everything and talk about him on the internet and talk about it, all this stuff. And All Falls Down is the start of that. Jesus Walks kind of comes and goes because it was like this. I mean, it was a big record at the time, and it's still a big record now, and it won the Grammys and the awards and all that stuff. But All Falls Down feels like the one that, when I looked at the College Dropout track list, there were songs I liked more, but All Falls Down felt like the biggest one that held the test of time and deserved to be talked about in this way.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with Kanye, I think, why the reach is still there, you know, you can say a lot about the antics and how he markets himself and the brand of Kanye, but even in this subjective art form that we're in, there is just something to say that there just haven't been that many talents like Kanye was in music, period, ever. Like, that just is the case. So a big part of that is that, and yeah, All Falls Down could have gone with so many tracks. Kanye going to be one of the few guys who was on both of our list. I don't know how many, if any, other people will. Again, says something about his talent level.
I'm looking at the rest of my list. If that hasn't happened yet, that's about it.
dope pick there. Up next, someone who had to be here, no doubt about it. When you talk about the 2010s, he's kind of looked at somebody on that Mount Rushmore. It is Jermaine Cole. J. Cole, it was tough to pick what song for J. Cole because this song doesn't define him as an artist, but just how colossal it is, you have to pick No Role Models, I think. Song is so damn big. Well, I think there are better songs that you could pick from, especially A Born Sinner or Friday Night Lights, which came out in 2010, to kind of show who J. Cole is as an artist. For the history books, gotta go with No Role Models. 2014 Forest Hills Drive weirdly kind of changed things for Cole. I think it's that album that he has that pretty much everyone can agree on. You know, I love Born Sinner. Everyone doesn't love Born Sinner. We both like For Your Eyes Only. Not everybody does, but pretty much everyone is like, yeah. 2014 Forest Hills Drive is good. So give me No Role Models.
Yeah. I mean, 2014 Forest Hill Drive changed his career massively. It changed the way people talked about Cole for better and for worse, and it changed his perception in the public. But there was one thing that was undeniable, and it was No Role Models got people going.
Absolutely.
Everyone of all ages, all demographics, like it's one of the best songs of his career in my eyes. Big fan of it. I'm actually shocked you put Cole on here. Like, I know how undeniable he is, but there's another artist on here that I'm sure is on your list, but it's hard to pinpoint the song that kind of attaches to them because their artistry is more, I feel like I shouldn't talk about them as a collective yet until we get to that person, but Cole's artistry itself is more admired within certain ways than the music is affecting lives or in people's lives. My next pick is another Kanye West beat. That's three in a row. But this time for Camera and it's Down and Out. I love this damn song. Just Kanye on the hook, Cam rapping his ass off, like just so many damn quotables here, and Cameron's got his own flow and style. It's funny now seeing people do like viral videos World semi-viral videos of like them copying his flow and like making jokes about like how he raps, but his ability to just like mush words together that sound similar and end up sounding amazing in his verse and his rapping. So Down and Out's my pick. Love this song.
Cam'ron, one of the coolest rappers of all time. You talk about the influence, like I talked about with ASAP, like even though their music didn't sound like from there, their style, the way they moved around, there was clearly a Dipset and specifically a Cam'ron influence there. Cam'ron is someone who has that insane cool factor, but is also like respected as an MC. Cam'ron can really rap his ass off. Has like a classic project, in my opinion, has so much, like has done so much for hip hop, weirdly enough. Like, I don't want to, like, underrated is kind of a term that just people throw around a lot, but Cam'ron has done so much, and I'm not sure if he gets the credit for everything. And yeah, this track is amazing. Again, just the beat rides so well. Love the Kanye feature, like love the hook. Cam'ron's going crazy on it. Love everything about this one, man. Excellent pick. What we got next? So we got the Drake hook. Another thing that happened in the 2010s, mid late, Drake was just like, yo, I'm gonna start hopping on people's songs. I'm gonna do remixes, do freestyles, all that type of shit. He's done it a lot. One of the early instances and one of the instances that changed hip hop, because not only was it one of the first times Drake did it, it launched the biggest hip hop group of the 2010s. I'm talking about the Versace remix by Migos. This thing right here, I remember I had a friend who was kind of early on Migos. He was on Migos around Bando before the Versace remix hit. So I was kind of already on Migos, weirdly enough, even though we were kind of young. And I remember the remix hits, and I remember the first time I heard that Drake verse, and I remember people hearing it, and I was like, yo, it was one of the first times that there was an artist that I was kind of early on, and I was like, yo, this is going to change everything, you know, for them, for the genre as a whole. One of the biggest instances of Drake hopping on somebody's song, and one of the best. I think he fits on this super, super well. So give me the Versace remix right here.
Yeah. The Drake boost was real. It was very, very real for a time. And the Versace remix was the like perfect example of that. Launches a rap super group that if we were to do the back half of the decade would be part of that too. I'm actually, when was it? 2013?
14? 2013, yes.
13, yeah. So I'm not sure I love Drake's verse on it itself, but we're here to talk about Migos, you know, and what they did on Versace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Versace is an interesting one because they have so many songs. So I feel like everyone has a different Migos top 10. I don't even know where Versace would be on my favorite Migos song. It's not super high, but, you know, again, historian hat. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Let's see. My next pick, we're going back south. We were out on the east for a little bit with that sound, but we're going back to a little bit more grimy, more of the speakers bumping, making some noise. It's Still Fly by the Big Timers. One of my favorite just hooks on a rap song ever. Just, I hear it, can't get it out of my head. Said that for a lot of songs on this list, but it's really like Still Fly just stays in my head the whole time. Both Birdman and Manny Fresh talking that shit. Amazing beat.
Still Fly is crazy because it's a song of two guys who admittedly are not great rappers, in my opinion, especially Birdman. I wasn't the biggest fan of, you know, Manny. He had such a charisma when he got behind the mic. I was reluctant, like, okay, I'm in. And with the production that he did, I was like, okay, I'm here. But this song is amazing. Like, this is one, you know, Manny's done a lot, produced a lot. Birdman has obviously been involved in a lot. It's a song that, in terms of mass popularity, you might not think of early, but it's one of the best things that they've been a part of. Amazing, amazing song for sure.
Another that was my number nine, by the way. So are we at your nine? Yeah, we're at your nine.
Yes, sir. Are there any familiar faces? Yeah, we talked Chains. No, but we've talked Chains. We're gonna go to the folks at Good Music, off of their Good Music compilation. Kanye West, Big Sean, Titty Boy, 2 Chainz, Pusha T. We're talking about Mercy, of course. This song was so big, dude.
It was so big.
And this is, again, like part of that kind of linking back to Chainz. This was like in that pocket where Chainz was just.
I mean, he's reintroduced with this song.
Yeah, yeah.
Hits the scene again with a crazy verse. I believe we've talked about this verse on this show before when we did our Chainz episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Good shit from everybody here, man. Like, say what you will about Big Sean. Good Sean verse here. Push, you already know what he's about to do. And Ye, just like pure star power shining through. But Chainz, it's different. You know what I mean? It is just different. I got to go with Mercy here. Crazy, crazy song.
Another song that's kind of like making its way back with that Chainz meme of the horsepower, horsepower.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
My number eight. Now, this isn't the biggest song from this group. It is Pusha T's group. It's Clips. And I wanted to go Grindin', but Grindin's not the one that gets me going. The one that gets me going is when the Last Time. Crazy Pharrell beat. Just in the drop and the way Pusha raps on that first verse, it's one of a kind. It's the standout song to me on that album, at least. And I'm trying to justify it over Grindin' right now, but I can't, besides the fact that I just like it more. Straight up like it more. Like, Grindin' was the bigger song. When the Last Time, not necessarily the biggest song on the album. If you were to do one that like talked about the time period, I don't know. I'm just gonna go with
one. I think this one, weirdly enough, fits more within the time period. It sounds like it fits with a lot of more of these other songs that you picked. Obviously, Grindin' kind of the one that everyone knows, the iconic one. But this beat, man, Pharrell just coming in on a song screaming niggas and bitches is just like funny as hell, considering where we are and how we know Pharrell now. Like Clips in that element, rapping hard as shit over some Neptune shit. Can't go wrong with this either.
Like and the sample, just the sample is nuts just to hear that. And really doesn't encapsulate.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with you there. Another good pick. They're going to yell at me. But speaking of Big Sean, Big Sean is back for my next selection. This was a song that was supposed to be on the Hall of Fame Deluxe, I believe, kind of got cut for some sample issues or something. It's Big Sean. It's Kendrick Lamar. It's J Electronica. The song is called Control. This is a song that just the reaction to this song, it spawned so many response songs. Again, you talk about Dusty Timberlands and old Yankee fitted hat YouTube videos of people being disgusted that Kendrick Lamar called himself the king of New York, rappers getting in their feelings, our guy Drake included, because he called them out. Like the conversation that this song started, next level, maybe like the most out of everything I picked, even with like All Gold, everything shit, like the conversation around this was just insane. I gotta go Control.
The absolute funniest thing is like Big Sean is so good in this song.
To this day, I will argue that Big Sean had the best verse on Control. I think I think he had the best verse on Control.
I'm not doing that. You can relay all arguments over to Lee. I'm not doing that. I think the funny thing with Sean, he's done a few songs with Kendrick, and he always raps his ass off, and then Kendrick just comes in and like undoes it. And I feel bad for him because like he can legit keep up, but everyone's still going to talk about how great Kendrick is. Love this song. Love all three verses on this song. Like you said, it sent like seismic waves. Cole is on a remix for Justin Timberlake's TKO, and he's talking about this shit. Big Crit's debut album, his lead single, is talking about this shit. Like, and to this day, I don't understand how it was considered an insult when he just said, "These are all my peers, and I want to be better than my peers." Like, that's not a problem to me. I don't know.
It's so crazy. And because it is a thing where he's saying, "I'm at the top." Yes. Like, as a rapper, you're going to say that. These are the guys who are with me. These are the guys who are inspiring me.
I would be more mad if he didn't name me.
Exactly. Like, yo, if he didn't
name me, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But yeah, gotta go with Control here.
We're back to me, aren't we?
Okay. Indeed, indeed.
We are gonna go. My next one, the queen of rap at this time, had to include her. Talked about her like subtly when I was talking about Eve, but it's Missy Elliott and it's Work It.
Oh yeah.
Work It, just like a such a big song. I believe she was doing like Super Bowl commercials with the song this year, and like it just never really left us. The sound she was making on the hook, just funny stuff.
Yeah.
Can't talk enough about Missy and like her importance and how big this song was and how good it is, like legitimately good. Her ability to like fuse together pop and rap and make mainstream music for everyone, that got everyone super into her.
Yeah, the reach that this song has is interesting considering how weird it is, you know. Mm-hmm. You hear random sound effects. The structure of it, even in and of itself, is kind of interesting, the way the verses are structured. It's a song that, like, in theory shouldn't be a hit, but Missy is just so amazing. Such a dope artist. You get this crazy instrumental. You just can't help but to kind of, you can't help when your ears perk up when this track comes on. So, yeah, shout out to Missy. Missy is one who I will say is underrated. Missy is still underrated, in my opinion. Doesn't always get her due, but dope pick there. This is a weird pick because we talked about it last week. Again, shout out to Tyler. Gotta have Future in here. Can't have any kind of 2010s talk without Future. This is an interesting one. Big part of me wanted to go with Turn on the Lights. Like I've mentioned, that was kind of the one that introduced me to Future. It was one that kind of introduced the larger world of Future. He wasn't paying attention. But I'm going to go with Coding Crazy. Going to go with Coding Crazy because the way this song works for me, it's so Future. Like I said, it's super like captivating. It's like world building. Whenever it turns on, like time slows down around me and everything bubbles up. This song is so crazy. It's part of the trilogy, the Future trilogy, which was such a big part in this decade's story. So I'm going with Coding Crazy right here.
I mean, we talked about this last week. Can't go any further in depth.
Yeah.
Just a great song. Crazy how my mood has like kind of gotten down since we did that episode, not because like anything other than just me listening to more Future music. Really digging into, yeah, I've been listening to Throwaway a little too much.
Yeah,
not a good song.
Yeah.
My number six is like an undeniable smash hit. It might be my last undeniable smash hit. The rest of my music is like really big songs, but this is one like you will hear everywhere on the radio, everywhere to this day. It's Ride With Me by Nelly. My favorite Nelly song. He had a lot of songs to choose from. I didn't really know what to pick, but I looked at it. I don't know who City Spud is and why they went so damn hard on this thing. But love the verse there too. Just I mean, what can I say about Ride With Me? What can you say about Ride?
It's hard for someone who, like, I was kind of younger in this time. I wasn't super tapped in. It's hard for me, like, you hear people talk about this time, but I like Nelly was just on another level. I remember like seeing how big Drake was and people being like, that Nelly was big, like Nelly was so much bigger than this. And hearing all these records, I have older sisters too. So like, you know, the way they gravitate to Nelly records, cousins, the how big the albums were, the recognition, like it, like for that early stretch of Nelly, he put a whole region on, really. Yeah, can't go wrong. I love Ride With Me. Yeah, like you said, could go with a couple here, but Ride With Me might be the one, especially with like the historian hat, especially. I think Ride With Me is the one. Good pick there. Shout out to Rich Homie. Rich Homie's back, joined by Young Thug, Rich Gang. This one could have been a little higher, but I'm going to settle with it right here. It's Lifestyle. You already know what it is. Another song that just pissed people the hell off. This is one of those, I remember the thing with this song, people really just had no idea what Young Thug was saying for the longest time.
No, that's you don't even understand what he's saying.
Yeah, like that was just such a big thing with the record. It was colossal, dude. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, all right, Rich Gang is about to be here for a while. That was my main thing. I was like, okay, Rich Gang's gonna be here for a while. Obviously, that doesn't happen. But they left us with Lifestyle, a song that, as weird as it is, like with the shit that Thug is doing, like the hook is still super catchy, still sounds to me just as good as it did then. So I'm gonna go with Lifestyle.
Definitely a song I first started listening to because I thought it was funny. And then a song that just didn't leave because it's so good.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
Big fan of Lifestyle. Love. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. Like when I think of Rich Homie Quan, this is, I mean, Lee picked the two songs that I think of when I think of Quan. Looking like if you were to look today, he's probably not someone you would think would have two songs on this list. But then right. You list the two songs and you're like, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
We're digging in top five territory now.
Yes, sir.
Cream of the crop, the best of the best. There was absolutely no one more colossal than 50 Cent in 2003.
100%.
So looking at Get Rich or Die Trying and trying to decide what's the song I'm going to take from it, I took the song that I don't think 50 gets a lot of credit for. Talked about Wale making romantic rap music. 50 Cent. Probably the godfather of this shit, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people love Ja Rule and stuff, but it's really 50's been doing this year in, year out. Even when his like quality was going down, he was still able to put one of these records out. So I'm going with 21 Questions with Nate Dogg. One of the best hooks. First West Coast rapper right there, Nate Dogg, on my list, and the only one. But yeah, 21 Questions, just like a song that you would sing in the shower. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's really just one that doesn't leave your head, one that you're always going to listen to, and one that's never going to age out.
Exactly. Obviously, Get Rich has so many songs that could be selected here. Album that, classic album, of course. One of those albums that is, you really can't name many better. I mean, it's 50's main claim to this point still, like being a respected artist. Like 50 has some duds in his catalog, but he always has Get Rich, kind of like the same way that Snoop will always have Doggy Style. 50 Cent will always have Get Rich. He'll always have that respect. And yeah, 21 Questions, so fucking awesome. Hook is so awesome. Like the element of just like a street dude talking like about like talking to his girl, so dope. So yeah, this is
a lot of those answers shit. Should be no, by the way. like I don't know who he thinks he is, but like, yeah, some of those answers, like, yeah, probably yes, but some of those answers should be no.
Awesome, dope video too. I feel we haven't talked a ton about videos, but like, very good video for the song. So yeah, 21 Questions, elite pick. We're getting to the cream of the crop, like you said, and. Let me just say it. This is my solo Drake song. This was hard. What do you pick for the solo Drake song from this era? I think the albums that you have Nothing Was the Same. You have Take Care. You have some singles as well. I'm actually going to pick a single. some of the songs, especially when you look at like some of the Marvin type shit, I'm not picking that just because they're kind of more R&B joints. I'm actually going to pick 0 to 100 because I remember 0 to 100 coming out and being like, Drake is like the best rapper for real. And like it gave him a lot of validity as an MC, in my opinion, where some of that was still kind of up in the air at that time. Like he is rapping his ass off. I put this in that kind of I think of this and like Diplomatic Immunity songs like that in the same breath where he's like, I'm just gonna spaz just because people think I can't do this. And this song was super big, actually. It was a single, so it didn't appear on like any album. But I remember hearing 0 to 100 so fucking much. 0 to 100 was a super big song. Not his biggest song, but I like it as being a marker for Drake in this time. So give me 0 to 100.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, he comes out with Nothing Was the Same. And there are people arguing and fighting about Drake all the time, you know, and it's like started from the bottom, gets a lot of heat, you know, the motto got heat before, maybe we get Hold On, We're Going Home, and like people are constantly going to fight about Drake. And at the end of the day, he does this consistently where he just stops and goes, hey, I got to remind you, I can still rap.
Yep.
Like 0 to 100 was the reminder, and it was colossal. It was so kind of takes over the summer there. Good pick. I was not seeing this coming at all.
It was tough. Like picking the, like there was the Drake features. It was tough to pick the solo Drake song. I was kind of close to picking the motto, but I gotta go 0 to 100 here. I think this is the one that, even though some of these other songs were bigger, sometimes it comes down for me when I'm doing this, like what matters more. I think 0 to 100 mattered a lot more than some of those other songs.
I feel my list, I'm at number 4 now. I have a lot of rappers on here that aren't like stars, but their music, like they dropped a song that was just so big, I can't deny it. This one is thanks to Kanye West, who was on the hook, and it is Overnight Celebrity by Twista.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Overnight Celebrity, one of my favorite Kanye beats. Twista, the king of rapping fast, one of those, like, doesn't just rap fast, but, like, raps fast well and says a lot in the words that he's using. He's not just making sounds. Kamikaze is actually really, really good album. Underrated one, especially from that time period. And Overnight Celebrity, just like the one that's going to stick with Twista forever. It's one whenever you want to discuss about whenever you want to discuss Twista, you can always point back to it. And both him and Kanye being from Chicago and kind of crafting that sound, you know, and having that that soul sample in there. My fourth favorite song from this era.
Yeah, crazy track. And Twista, like, you know, at the end, we're talking about what we're bumping recently. I've been bumping the hell out of this JID. And somebody who JID talks about a lot is Twista. JID is a guy who, in my opinion, I don't think there's anyone who does a multitude of flows in hip hop right now better than JID. And he's talked about before how a lot of that influence comes from Twista. You know, even other guys who rap fast, a guy like Ski Mask, they talk about like hearing Twista and being like, yo, how does he do that? I want to do that. Love this pick here. Dope song. And actually a track that Sneaky has a lot of influence when you look at Twista. So yeah, dope track, dope pick here. Speaking of influence, arguably the most influential guy of this 5-year period, of this decade. It's a kid from Chicago who loves waving his guns and his dreads around the music video shirtless. It's Chief Keef. The song is Love Sosa. Love Sosa is like from the intro skit to the video to the song itself. Like, this could have easily been number one. Chief Keef, a guy who was super influential. Like just the response to Chief Keef, people being like, yo, what the fuck is going on in Chicago? Like the birth of the term Chi-Rac, like so much shit. You gotta like attribute back to Chief Keef. And Love Sosa is the one for me. Another song, like I said, sounds just as good as it did when I first heard it. So give me Love Sosa right here.
Yeah, Chief Keef is an undeniable force. Like he changed a lot for everyone. Really through just like, I mean, he had more than a few songs, but it was really a few songs that really made that shift, and yes. Love Sosa's at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about songs so big now, I don't know what we can possibly like, I don't know how much commentary I can give you on Love Sosa that someone smarter or more knowledgeable has already.
Yeah, led to multiple Vice. It might have been, it really started that whole Vice shit of like, yo, let's go to like Atlanta and Chicago and get a nerdy white dude and let's good film at bad. Night. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Some stuff is not our business.
Yeah.
We're in the top three now. This one at number three. He's been mentioned a lot on this list, but not a solo song from him yet. And the producers had a few songs on my list, but this is my favorite beat from him. It is You Don't Know by Jay-Z, produced by Just Blaze. The ultimate gym song for me. The ultimate one that gets me going, the one that gets me confident, the one that has Hov talking his shit. Like, everything about it is perfect to me. There's not a bad line in this song. There's not a bad breath. There's not a bad use of the beat. I mean, Just Blaze, one of the things I like about him is his music kind of like builds momentum and it reaches like this boiling point. And You Don't Know is the perfect example of that. It just keeps building and building and building, and Hov's words help with that.
Yeah. We've talked Blueprint on here, like just as a whole. I think you said it was your favorite Jay. It's probably not my favorite Jay, but in like a history book aspect, it is the Jay. And You Don't Know is one of those, you know, before the term banger was really a thing, this song just fucking bangs. But like, it doesn't change how Hov operates on it, which is interesting because like, it's this super just hard banging beat, but Hov is still on there just like super slick and cool, just doing the whole thing. It works.
It's great. Operatic in its own way.
Yeah.
It kind works of feels great. Like an orchestra building to this like final blow, and Hov is just cool the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Dope pick there. Might just make me listen to the Blueprint again tonight. Who knows? Dope pick there. Number three for me. I feel like for now, everyone, these songs, I'm going to say, yeah, this could have been number one. But we talked about Kanye West. It is time for the Kanye West solo song. A lot of options here. But all roads will probably lead to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which leads us to two options, in my opinion. Putting on the historical cap, I got to go with Runaway. It fits the theme of the album so well, with like this huge grandiose maximalist thing, a song that is really 9 minutes for damn near no reason other than it wants to be, but still a dope track. Like the video, it was such a thing. It reached such heights critically. Like the way Runaway was discussed was just super, it was just different. The way like people across all mediums talked about Runaway in such a positive light was dope. So I gotta go with Runaway right here.
And I can't let this conversation go without talking about that Pusha verse. Oh my god. Just nuts. Pusha kind of like taking a break after the clip stuff, you know, not really in the limelight, and good music like kind of building up, and Kanye just putting them right there front and center to give us like one hell of a verse. Runaway is a great song. One, when I saw Kanye, I feel like I've told this story. I saw Kanye in Chicago for the Yeezus tour, and he literally played one note of Runaway on the piano. Again, another piano song.
Yeah.
Make note. Use the piano, bro. It works.
Yeah.
He just played one note on the piano and the whole stadium lost its shit. So
yeah,
Runaway's a great pick there. What do we got? My number two is three rappers that have no business being on this list, but three rappers that got together and made one of the best rap songs ever. And my second favorite song of this decade, It's Still Tipping by Mike Jones.
Yeah.
Mike Jones, Slim Thug, Paul Wall, just like the most Southern song ever. The best song out of the South for me, like within this time period. Beat is insane. Every line is a quotable. Like it flows all together. They all play off each other perfectly. I mean, yeah. Paul Wall got the internet going nuts.
This is an interesting one because, and especially in hip hop, rarely do I hear a song that is so regional, but I still think it's so good that it should be like universally recognized. I don't know if that's the best way to explain that, but rarely do I hear a regional song where I'm like, nah, this is so good that not only should every person in this region like it, every hip hop fan should like it, every music fan should find something they like and Still Tipping. Instrumental is just fucking gorgeous. I think one of the like coolest videos I've seen is like some classical artist doing Still Tipping. I see that. I feel like I see a new classical like musician do that every couple years, and it's every time I'm like, this is the coolest shit. Cool ass verses, like just three of the coolest motherfuckers getting on a track and making some magic.
And just met my threshold because it came out November 2024 2004.
Yeah. Excellent pick there. Another song that, like I said, I'm saying this for every pick for these. Another song that could have been number one. This is a song that weirdly everyone knows. This is a song where I love, you know me, I don't go out a lot. But every now and then I'll go out to a bar or a house party or something, and this song will come on. And I have vivid memories in my head. This song came on in a bar. I looked over at some girl who was probably like, she was a short, skinny, petite white girl, maybe in her like early 20s. And the beginning of Dreams and Nightmares comes on. And I'm like, there's no way this girl should know this song. This girl doesn't know this song. And we make eye contact and we start rapping the whole fucking song. We rapping the whole song like we're on it. And like Dreams and Nightmares is that way. Everyone knows this song, even when you think they shouldn't. This song is so anthemic. Like, it defines this era so well. It is Meek's claim to history. This song will be in hip-hop history forever.
And it inspired so many people to try to do it again, and they just cannot capture that magic. Oh,
yeah.
Huge part of, like, the Eagles Super Bowl run. I feel like that helped that song a lot.
Yeah.
Before then, I actually saw Meek perform this song in Philly, and that's like one of the best live performances I've ever seen. Yeah, it was at Made in America, and Jay-Z brought him out just for this. Like, he was fresh out of jail too.
Yeah.
So like, first time performing, it was in Philly. Everyone was going crazy. Like, yeah, it's a perfect rap song. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Oh shit, we're at my number one, huh?
We're here. Number one.
Fuck the Frail shit. We gonna make it, baby. It's Jada Kiss at number one. I don't know what the hell was going through Alchemist's mind when he was making this beat. It's one of those like wonders of the world where you hear it and you just cannot believe it every single time. Brings a tear to my eye. It's so goddamn beautiful. Jada and Styles P, like, don't miss a beat on here. It's like a 5-minute song and it goes by so fast that I replay it again and again. Just a perfect, perfect song, perfect opening to a song, all of it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard this song only once by choice. If I hear it once, it comes up on a shovel, comes up on a playlist, I'm definitely playing it again. The intro is so distinct. The beat as a whole is so distinct, unique. You want to talk about a beat that like makes the hairs on your arm rise up.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this shit and I'm like, oh, we're here. perfectly built for Jaden Styles. They go back and forth. Amazing on it. Jada, again, he's another guy who likes that, you know, your favorite rapper's favorite rapper claim, top five dead or alive. He likes to throw that shit around. And he's got a lot in his discography to prove it. This is one of those. Definitely a song that will stand the test of time forever and ever. Amazing.
Really just hope it don't get lost, man. I don't know.
Absolutely. Dope track. Good pick for number one. Number one for me. I feel like if you're listening, you probably know the artist at least. People are like, yo, where is Kendrick at? Where is the Kendrick song? The Kendrick song is number one.
I was wondering.
The Kendrick song is number one. Now, this could cause some controversy because this isn't the biggest Kendrick song of this time. It is going to be off of Good Kid, Mad City. To me, this is the album of the whole 2010s. And, you know, Money Trees was a huge record. Poetic Justice was a huge record. Swimming Pools was a huge record. But a big part of what Kendrick has done, in my opinion, is legitimize 2010s hip hop. You know, there when you people from eras prior, people who are into hip hop, they want to say they're not talking about shit. They're not good rappers. They're not telling good stories. They don't care about this art. You cannot listen to Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst.
Wow. I did not expect you to go that route.
You cannot listen to that song and be like, there's nothing in the 2010s that sticks to the essence of hip hop. You cannot. You want to talk about a long song? Again, this song is like fucking 10 minutes long. This is another song that I don't listen to a lot once. Sometimes I will listen to the whole like 10, 12 minutes and listen to it again. Multiple part song, just super vivid storytelling, just like gorgeous music, thought provoking. And it is the number one song of the top half of the 2010s for me. Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst by Kendrick Lamar.
Undeniably, like one of my three favorite Kendrick songs.
Yeah.
I was honestly going to interrupt you and say it as like a joke because I fully did not expect you to claim it to be the best rap song from 2010 to 2014. But, you know, not a whole lot of argument for me. I love this song. It's very poetic. It's very like it's full of substance, I guess, if you want to go the lame route of talking about rap music and whether it should have substance or not. But it's got a lot of that. It's a ballad, it's emotional, it's everything. Just great pick, Lee. I really did not expect you to go there. I was expecting to talk Mad City. You said Money Trees first, and like I was like, yeah, Money Trees would have been a good pick and a lot of this stuff. But yeah, Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. One I'm gonna run back as soon as we're done recording for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That is it. There you have it. At some point we will do the part two of this one of these days. We'll do the same for the R&B at some point. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anything else?
Not really. What have you been listening to? What do you want to tell the people about?
It's really been this JID the past week or so. I'm loving how positive it's been received. I'm shocked. I like the project a pretty good deal. Even people who haven't been as big on prior JID projects, I feel like are fucking with this one pretty heavy. Definitely one that I would recommend. There's a lot on it. He's doing a lot. Like he's doing a lot of different flows. He's dabbled in singing, but he's never sounded this good singing. The features are great. The length of it is good. This is definitely one I feel pretty comfortable lobbing a recommendation to for anybody who hasn't heard it. Check it out for sure.
I haven't heard it in full. The few songs I did hear, I really enjoyed. Heard the one with Kenny Mason, heard the one with 21, heard the one with Ari Lennox, liked all of them. Got to dig into it.
Yep. New Ari this week as well, I think. I think the Ari is this week or next week. So Ari soon as well. So Dreamville's gearing up for a good fall winter. So salute to Dreamville. Mm-hmm. Not much else I'm listening to. Freddie Gibbs album just got announced. I think it's coming in a couple weeks or month this year sometime. I don't think anything else major has gotten announced. Oh, we got the baby release date.
Yeah, little baby's October 14th.
Yes. So we got that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been spinning the hell out of the Roddy Ricch stuff on the DJ Khaled album. Mm. Roddy, he got a lot of shit and like took a little break. I don't know when he recorded this stuff for Khaled, but he sounds great on it. I'll tell you that. Outside of that, I'm not really sure what else I've been listening to. A little bit of I've been digging into that Real Boston Richie. I mentioned him in passing in our last episode.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, just mostly older stuff lately. Not really listening to anything new right now, but I got to dig into that JID. That Nudie's still playing strong. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon for me. But.
Yeah, I definitely got a couple of those. Impala, of course. But yeah, there's a couple of tracks. Once I kind of spun the block on it, definitely added another two or so. I'm still playing the Beyonce album pretty heavy too.
I'm playing Cuff It to Break My Soul, that three song stretch a lot. Just yeah, those three songs like right in a row a lot.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a quiet-ish past like week or so. So hopefully there's some more to come. But yeah, I
think people are gearing up for the fall.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for you guys. Appreciate you coming through as always. Fuck with us, like, follow, subscribe, tell a friend, all that good stuff, and we will see you guys next week, hopefully.
Yep.